I will be reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light.
Preach the word, brother.
Okay, we're on. Good morning. Glad to be here. I pray God's word will be a blessing to you. Last week, Rudy brought to us a lesson that talked about how important it is to run the race through faith. He talked about persevering through difficult times and through our perseverance to be able to finally finish the race and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." I didn't know what he was going to preach about last week, but I had been preparing my lesson before that and found that mine is really a nice part B to what he gave us last week. I don't know if it was the 80s or if it was the 90s, but there were a series of commercials that came on television, and I actually was just able to watch one recently on YouTube, on the internet. The one I saw had Lyle Alzado, who used to be a football player, and he became an actor. And he's sitting there with a bag of pork rinds, and he's eating them and talking about them. And the pork rinds that he holds in his hand is really just some generic brand. It's not really one popular brand. And just as you're thinking that this is a pork rinds commercial, down at the bottom, out of nowhere, comes the Energizer Bunny, and the narrator says it keeps going and going and going. There is a series of those. At one time, before we have wireless everything, batteries were the primary source of almost everything we did as far as entertainment was concerned. You needed batteries to play any video game you owned. You needed batteries for the TV remotes, and I guess technically you do still today. And any source of entertainment you had. These were pretty popular back in the 1980s. I don't know if anybody remembers these. Here's the Walkman. When these came out, these gave people the luxury of being able to hook these on your belt to go out for a jog or do your exercises or whatever it is you wanted to do. And before CDs, they had such things as cassette tapes. This is where your music was, or whatever was popular. Funny thing about that is, this only works if the batteries are good. See, when the batteries start going bad, when the batteries start getting low, it really doesn't matter what you have in here, it does not sound right. So, for example, if I put Johnny Rivers in and play slow dancing, it becomes really slow dancing. And you know what's interesting is if I take this out and I put something with a little more harder rock edge, maybe put some Petra in there, it doesn't sound any better. You know that? Just changing the tape doesn't make it sound any better because the batteries are still weak. The batteries are no good. Sometimes throughout our spiritual lives, when we're trying to persevere, to run that race, to finish that race, our spiritual batteries start to weaken at various points of our lives, and we start sounding or we start feeling like those cassette tapes that are running on low batteries. Sometimes we get the feeling that, you know, everything around us is going well. And it seems like that's when it seems to hit us. Everything's going well around us, and all of a sudden, something happens. And then we feel spiritually weak. Could be that maybe somebody hurt us. Somebody close to us has hurt us, has said something that has made us feel bad. Maybe it's the pressures of everything going on around us. But there are points in our lives as Christians where we feel spiritually weak. And we're not sure how it is we can recharge our spiritual batteries. Now, when my Walkman's batteries get low, I have the luxury of going out to Walmart and buying some more batteries so that I can play my cassette. As Christians, we don't have a store that we can just go to buy some fresh batteries to put them in ourselves to have new spiritual batteries. We don't have that luxury. So when our spiritual batteries have been depleted, what do we do to get them charged back up? Where do we go? Today we're going to be in Psalm 73, if you want to be turning there with me. Psalm 73. This morning I want to try and help us understand how we can recharge our spiritual batteries. And let me mention one other thing. This morning you may not be going through this particular struggle, but I can guarantee at some point you will. Because all of us go through this from time to time. So if you're not going through this particular struggle where you're feeling spiritually weak right now, please remember this, because there will be a point when you do. Psalm 73, it tells us, is a psalm from Asaph. Asaph was a leader in one of David's three Levitical choirs. And there are 11 psalms that are ascribed to him. Psalm 73 is one of those. It doesn't really indicate at what point during David's reign that Asaph may have written this, but it is obvious that we learn that there is a point of spiritual weakness as he's writing this. Psalm 73 starts out where it says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envy the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The psalmist tells us right from the start how close it was he came to falling away. And literally he means falling away from the paths of truth and godliness. He acknowledges that God is good. That's the very first thing he says. But he also identifies that he's having a problem. He's got a problem. He says in verse 3, he envied the arrogant. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he recognizes that during these times of trouble, his focus shifts away from God and he starts to look at everything around him. At least his perception of those things. And the more he sees, the more upset and angry he becomes. And the more upset he becomes, the more and more his spiritual batteries continue to drain on him. Let's take a look at some of those things that he was struggling with, starting in verse 4. This is about the wicked again. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink of waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. "Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. But all day long I have been plagued, I have been punished every morning. The psalmist starts to reveal to God the things that are really bugging him right now. He doesn't understand why his life is so difficult and those around him, especially those that don't know God, they seem to be doing so well. It doesn't seem fair. And the more and more he sees of this, the more and more his spiritual batteries continue to drain. Step number one, to overcome the difficulty of needing our spiritual batteries recharged. Step number one is we need to admit that we need them recharged. Now, isn't it interesting that every type of struggle that we tend to deal with, whether it be alcoholism or drugs or whatever, to seek help in that, what's usually the very first step? Admitting you've got a problem. Admitting that you have something that you can't conquer by yourself. And so, the first step that we need to understand when we need our spiritual batteries recharged, we just need to admit it. And sometimes that's not so easy for us to do. That's usually one of the hardest steps for us because we like to be in control of what we do. We like to be the ones in control. Sometimes we recognize we need help and we'll say a prayer to God, but we're still trying to figure out how to get our batteries recharged on our own. And a psalmist here, certainly having some struggles. Look at some of the things he says. They have no struggles, he says in verse 4. They go about their lives. They do everything they please. Nothing ever ails them. Nothing goes wrong for them. And in their arrogance in verse 11, they even question, how does God know? Does God have knowledge? Psalmist sees these individuals that seem to be so prosperous to him, and then he looks at himself and he says, all day long, I have been plagued. Verse 14, I have been punished every morning. He seems to be going through a struggle that is very similar throughout many portions of Scripture. Why is it that life seems to be unfair for me? And for those that don't know God, they have no struggles. Solomon went through a little bit of that when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. When he starts wrestling with this idea that, you know, all things just don't seem to work out for good people. Let's take a look at some of the things he writes. If you've turned with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'm only going to read a couple. Starting at verse 15. Ecclesiastes 7, beginning at verse 15. It says, in this meaningless life of mine I have seen both of these, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness, and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. Do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. And then if you flip ahead to chapter 8, he again revisits this topic, starting in verse 10. Then too I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. So even though he recognizes that it's better to follow God, he still wrestles with this problem of why is it that other people that don't know God, why do they prosper, and those who are righteous don't? Job also struggled with this very thing. See, the real problem our psalmist has is that he was losing perception of the way things were. They were being skewed by his own point of view because of his own sufferings that he was dealing with. The psalmist did not take into account the things that he saw being from God's perspective, nor from the people that he saw. And when we're in the midst of struggle, we sometimes lose sight of how things are around us. Sometimes we don't see them for what they truly are. We see wrong things around us, and we allow those things to drag us down spiritually, and we feel justified. We have a right to be angry. We have a right to resent these things around us, the things that have happened to us. We have a right to feel that way, we think. But the more and more we feel that, the less and less chance we understand of the true nature of the problem. And the true nature just tends to be we're spiritually weak and we need our batteries recharged. And there is a real danger in staying in this attitude of this pity party, really, is what it is, for a prolonged time, because the longer we wait to admit that we need our spiritual batteries recharged, the more likely we are to reach a point of loneliness. We're likely to reach discouragement, despair. Our frustrations naturally lead us to that end. And the longer we wait, the more spiritually weak we become. So that's why the first step is so important. We need to admit to God that there's times we're not doing too well. And we need to have our spiritual batteries recharged. And we need to sometimes just get the things that are bugging us off our chest. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that God is faithful and will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And while these words are true, God certainly can be counted on through the times of difficulty. That still means we have to reach that first step. We need God's help. We need God's help in our moments of spiritual weakness. After we have reached the point where we have confessed to God that we need our spiritual batteries recharged, the very next thing to do, we need to take a spiritual inventory. Take a look back at chapter 73 of Psalms, starting in verse 15. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Isn't it interesting that halfway through this psalm, our psalmist changes his tune, doesn't he? First half centers around all his miseries. The second half he recognizes that the things he was admitting to really may not be the reality of what they were. He sees that his heart was not in the right place. His focal point was not in the right place. He says, when I tried to understand all this in verses 16 and 17, those things became oppressive to me. I struggled with that when I'm trying to make sense of this all until, look what happens next, until he entered the sanctuary of God. Most times when we have reached a point of spiritual weakness and we recognize that we need our spiritual batteries recharged, we find that we really haven't been spending quality time as we should with God. That's part of the reason. It shouldn't be such surprising. That's part of the reason why we're in the place we are when we need our spiritual batteries recharged. Because we haven't been spending adequate time in our prayer, adequate time in God's Word, And, you know, the thing is Satan really uses that to his advantage. When we spend less and less time with God and we spend more and more time with the things that we're busy with in our lives, well, then Satan can start to play with how much time we spend with God. Maybe we just don't have the time to read our Bibles this week, so we don't. And then we find that the space that we had for that, we now add more clutter. So now we don't have time to read our Bibles. So we use that, we don't do that, and we clutter up that time with more busyness, and pretty soon, well, maybe we shouldn't come to church on Wednesday nights because, you know, I'm too busy with what's going on. And maybe if I don't have to come on Wednesday night, maybe I don't have to come at all. It shouldn't be surprising then that when we get to a point where we're replacing God with busyness, that we will reach a point of spiritual weakness. And we have to have God recharge our batteries, but we also need to look at our spiritual inventory. Where are we with God? What are we doing? He says in verse 21 and 22, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you," he says. We need our spiritual batteries recharged. We begin by confession, repentance, which brings about a sense of cleansing within us. We recognize that maybe we're not as close to God as we need to be right now, and we need to get reconnected with Him. We've moved further away from Him, and we need to come back. So after we have admitted that we need our spiritual batteries recharged, we take our spiritual inventory. The third step is we need to be reconnected with our power source. Psalm 73, verse 23 through 26. "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Our psalmist recognizes that he has been distant from God. We don't know for how long, it doesn't say, but it's been obviously long enough for him to feel spiritually weak, and now he recognizes that he needs to be connected to his power source. "Yet I am always with you," he says. "You hold me up by my right hand, and you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into your glory." God is our power source. He is where we find the strength to do the things we do. We have just finished studying the books of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy in our Bible class. And in the course of that study, we learned about the sacrifices that the people were giving. And then there was one sacrifice in particular that was called the fellowship meal, fellowship offering, peace offering. And that whole thing encompassed fellowship with one another, but more importantly, their fellowship with God. That's really what it was. In addition to getting connected with God, one of the ways we do that is by reconnecting ourselves with our fellow brothers and sisters. And that is so hard sometimes to do. The reason it is so hard is because we as Christians fall under one category. That category is human beings. And human beings have the capability of hurting one another. Human beings have a means of fighting with one another. And yet, we need each other to bear each other's burdens. We need each other to help each other out. It is essential that we have one another. I recall the story of Elijah. He had just won a great victory for God over the Baals, the false prophets. They called down thunder from heaven. And it was shortly after this situation happened that he goes through a time where he is just absolutely discouraged, going through a period of loneliness. His spiritual batteries is just totally depleted. And he tells God, God, it would be better off for me just to die because I am the only one left. And God didn't pacify him. God told him, in fact, the very first thing God told him was that 7,000 others had never kneeled before Baal. And the very next thing God did was send him to the prophet Elisha. That's what he did. God recognized that Elijah needed to be in the company of other believers, other Christians. And that's what he did. And that's where we find source of strength too, in our God and in each other. Now, certainly we need to understand that our power, what we give, is certainly not as strong as God's. God is the ultimate power source. But you know, I thought about this as Rudy commented about how when Satan attacks us as a bully, and that's the term he used, how we're more apt to be able to fight against him if once he jumps on one of us, three of us jump on him to pull him off. We need each other to do that. Solomon again reminds us of this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4:12 when he says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Solomon in Proverbs puts it another way. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. We find strength and renewal in our lives through fellowship. And we function as a full body when we worship God together. So step one, we need to admit that we need our batteries, our spiritual batteries recharged. Number two, we need to take a spiritual inventory. Where are we right now? And be honest with yourself. Step three, recommit to God. We got to get recommitted. We need to be reconnected with our power source. And finally, step four is we need to be involved in witness and ministry. Psalm 73, 27 and 28. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Psalmist admits he had a problem. He recognizes that where he was at the beginning of the psalm, he shouldn't have been. He was wrong. He reconnects with God, and now he acknowledges the very next important step, and that is we need to tell others about it. And interestingly, our spiritual batteries tend to stay recharged when we're actively involved in this very thing. See, if we're not involved with our faith, it'll die. It has no place to go if we're not actively involved. It is interesting that though this, we all know as church people, this is the very natural step for us. We need to be telling others. That's something that though almost everybody in the church struggles with, telling others. You know, it's interesting. If I go back to my Walkman, if my Walkman loses its power, and I buy new batteries for it, but I don't ever use it, what good does this do me? Say it louder. Absolutely nothing. If we are not involved with our spiritual lives, our faith, the things that we're called to do, we're not much use either. We're not much use either. And that's why our psalmist reminds us, it is good to be near God. I made the sovereign lords my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Verse 28. Each one of us here has an opportunity to tell others what God is doing or has done in our lives. And if we don't, then I would question, if we don't have something to tell others about, then I would really question how close we are to God. How, if we have nothing to tell, then God is obviously not active and involved in our lives. And that would be an indication we need to have our spiritual batteries recharged by coming back to Him. Truly, anybody who has been washed clean by the blood of the Lord has a story to tell. And if this is true, and we are involved in that, then we will have our spiritual batteries recharged and going and going and going. I don't know where you are this morning, but I do know that there are many here that probably need to admit, I need my spiritual batteries recharged today. Maybe the struggles of life in general around you have burdened you down. And you feel disconnected from God. You know, we do go through that from time to time. David went through that numerous times where he felt a disconnect from God, but he always knew he could come back to God and get his spiritual batteries recharged. And I'm here to tell you that we can too, right now. Perhaps, it's not just a matter of needing our spiritual batteries recharged. Maybe we just need to begin to walk a life anew in Christ. If you've never had that opportunity to come and say, hey, I struggle every day and I recognize I need a power source and I haven't quite got that yet. But I know that if I come forward and be baptized and be into the blood of Christ, I can have that. Whatever your need is this morning, would you come as we stand and sing our song of invitation?